Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 1:10 p.m., and that is Pacific Standard Time, and today is December 13th. Well, I thought that today there are a number of different things to talk about because the Federal Reserve raised rates. The Bank of England is going to talk about rates tomorrow. Theresa May got a rap on the knuckles from Parliament, and then you also have this continued speculation about what's going on in the Bitcoin market. But I thought that I would kick off today and look at US corporate profits because they've largely been going sideways now for about 5 years. But over the last 6 months, they've been trending higher. Now, it is worth mentioning that this index is updated about once a quarter. So the next time it'll be updated will be on December 20th. And when we look at this index, we can see that it had meaningful peaks ahead of important peaks in the stock market. And it certainly responds both to monetary stimulus and fiscal stimulus. We see ample evidence of that, and certainly that was the case after 2009. So now we're moving into a period of fiscal stimulus, and that could contribute to profits increasing, and that we could see a breakout on this index. If we get a breakout on the index, considering that it is a lead indicator for trouble in the stock market, then that would be a rather rosy picture, and it would suggest that the stock market is still in rude health. It would also, of course, justify the rather significant advance that we've seen on Wall Street, considering that what is being priced in is a fiscal stimulus. So, for example, when we look at the Nasdaq, it is approximately 500 points overextended relative to the trend mean, which is less than 10%. The Dow Jones is also overextended relative to the trend mean by approximately 10%, and it is racing up towards this 25,000 level, which I think is at least an area where people will begin to pause. It's a big psychological level, and people will ask the question, what's next? And just by simply pausing and asking the question, what's next, then that could contribute to some pause and consolidation. And certainly the pace of the advance has picked up, so it would be healthy if we got some pause and consolidation. Now, when we look at where we are in terms of the stock market, we have a period of synchronized global economic expansion, and that is evident right across the board. But where we're certainly seeing the I think what it is catch up in a number of sectors, but most particularly in Europe and Japan, because they have been lagging by such a wide margin. And we'll see what happens in Japan tomorrow because the dollar pulled back pretty sharply against the yen in here today. But today was an interesting day because the banks in Japan broke upwards, and that's a pretty emphatic breakout. And it suggests that we're back in a period of demand dominance, that the banks have been largely range bound all year, and now this is the first real sign that the demand component is back in the driver's seat. Now the question on many people's lips tomorrow is, what is the Bank of Japan going to do? The yen was over a yen stronger against the dollar in here today. It is strengthening from this 114 area again, and this is the first clear downward dynamic against the dollar that we've seen really since the middle of November, and that one back in November was following a decline and had a little bit of a climactic feel to it. If we do see the yen strengthening up, well, then that is going to act as a headwind to the Nikkei, and then also potentially the banks. But the and what we are starting to see that is that when you look at the Bank of Japan, that they're going to have a well, the current central bankers, Mr. Kuroda's term ends in April of next year, and so far it looks like he's going to be reappointed. There is only one member of the panel that wants to add additional stimulus, and the weakness of the dollar is going to put some pressure on those Japanese decision makers about what are they going to do. But so far, they have been angling towards an end to their quantitative easing program. Now, it's nowhere near ending. They're not even tapering yet. But the big question is whether they would be willing to extend it or even increase it if the yen were to strengthen here. And that is a rather large question. So the Nikkei was down about 108 points in here today. And I think it's likely to be a little bit softer in here tomorrow, too. But this is still, I think, a benign environment for Japan because they are running both monetary and fiscal stimulus. And in an environment where the global economy is improving, then that should continue to represent a bullish phenomenon. Now, when we look at the UK, then it's probably best to simply look at the currencies because it was relatively unchanged against the euro. When we look at the pound, it wasn't quite able to hold its early advance, but it didn't hold a decline either. And the fact that Parliament has voted against the government and is insisting on a vote on the final text of any negotiations that take place on trade is probably good for democracy. But what it also helps to really reiterate is the weakness that the government has because it lost its absolute majority, and also that there are a substantial number of Tory lawmakers are rather ambivalent towards the idea of Brexit, and I think that's something of an understatement considering the polarity that you have on this particular issue. The pound pulled back from that 115 area early this week, and it has not pulled back by a great deal, and there hasn't been any follow through on the downside just yet. So there is the potential that it could push back upwards, but there's another big vote coming next week with regard to Brexit, and obviously the government is going to be pulling out all its stops to ensure that they win the next vote, because that is going to further weaken Theresa May's position if she can't, if the government can't get their way with Parliament. So, what that would suggest is that the pound is going to be somewhat volatile over the next week or so. But when we look at the precious metals, they are benefiting from the weakness of the dollar, and this was the first sign of a demand returning to dominance for gold. We have a short-term oversold condition, and gold prices are bouncing. They're back above that $1,250 area, and as long as we get some follow-through on the upside, well, that would then help to, I think, to confirm that we've seen a low of at least near-term significance. This is the region of the trend mean. Now, what we can also say about precious metals, and this has been true for as long as I've been looking at them, is that they do tend to overshoot. And that it certainly has been an example of what we've seen recently, where the gold price did pull back below the trend mean and overshot. Now, if it follows through on the upside, and most particularly if it pushes back above the trend mean, which is currently around $1,270, then that would suggest that we're back into a trendy environment, and that the potential is that it could go back up towards and above that $1,300 area. And silver was up by approximately 40 cents in here today, and that is the first evidence of a return to demand dominance that we've seen as well. But it is also back in the region of the lower side of this year-long range, and amid a rather steep oversold condition, especially, for example, if you look at those stochastics, that it is oversold on both the long and the short stochastics. Of course, you don't need these devices to tell us that. Simply the fact that it had been down almost on consecutive days for the better part of 2 weeks could have told us that. And platinum prices were a little bit firmer in here today as well. They countermanded just about all of yesterday's decline. But again, upside follow-through is going to be required to begin to suggest that short covering is underway. Now, when we take a somewhat broader look, I think it is worth highlighting that the Swiss market was up in relatively robust fashion in here today, but it is now coming back towards the 2015 peak, and it has been rather steady as it has pushed us, I think, slowly higher over the balance of the second half of this year. And as long as it is holding the region of the trend mean, I think we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. Where we did get some volatility was in the Swedish market today, and that is a significant tail on the candle that we had in here today. Now there is a lot of I think speculation about the risk that is outstanding in the Swedish property market, and I think that that is something that investors will be paying greater attention to. But the important point is that it is right in the region of the trend mean and did bounce rather emphatically from this level. So even where people are identifying risks, we're starting to see some evidence of demand returning. And the Malaysian market, which has been pulling back in a pretty steady manner for about 3 months now, also is beginning to exhibit a return to demand dominance in here. Meanwhile, next door, the Indonesian market is pushing new highs and has been consolidating around the 6,000 level, but does look like it is capable of doing better here. Now, with a somewhat weaker dollar, the Australian dollar is potentially now holding the progression of higher reaction lows that we've seen for most of this year. And it was up 77 ticks in here today. But upside follow through tomorrow would break that almost 4 month downtrend and begin to reassert demand dominance. And when we look at the stock market index, it has been pausing here around 6,000, but this continues to look like nothing more than a bullish consolidation, and it looks like we are going to see additional upside in here. And the New Zealand market, when we look at that upward dynamic that we're seeing for the New Zealand dollar, and most particularly that it's coming from the region of the lows for most of this year, then that is also going to feed through into continued demand for the stock market, which has had one of the most consistent uptrends of just about anywhere over the last 5 or 6 years. So this is still a rather benign environment. Now, South Africa has been pulling back, and not least because of issues with is it Steinhoff? I'm going off memory here, but it has now almost unwound its overbought condition relative to the trend mean. And if we look at the mining sector, and mining is obviously I think both an important sector from the cyclical perspective that miners should be doing better in a period of synchronized global economic expansion, but I think the mining sector is also almost a barometer for what's going on in China. There are increasing questions about I think the overweight position that small banks in China have in wealth management products, and the fact that that is rather difficult to monitor from the perspective of a stock market analysis because they're not listed. But considering that a lot of what they're investing in is property or in infrastructure related, then if the mining sector were rolling over, that would be in large part because of declining demand from China, which would put some of those wealth management products under threat. So therefore, the mining sector is also a barometer for what's going on in China. And it is firming from the region of the trend mean right now. When we look at what are the things that should do best in the mining sector, then the evolution of the electric car market is continuing to boost demand for nickel, for copper, for cobalt and lithium. And these represent the clear bullish trajectories for the industrial metal complex, and zinc prices have also been rallying for much of this year and have bounced again from above this 3,000 level. And it has been one of the the most impressive moves in the industrial metal complex, where you see a very well-defined base below 2500, a first step above it, above that 2500 area, and then this is the first consolidation following the breakout from that. But it looks like a recovery trajectory overall. Then when we look at the oil price, it failed to sustain the move above $65 yesterday, and then followed through on the downside in here today. So this is looking like a failed upside break, and that would suggest that it is going to at least go right down and test the lower side of this range. Quite whether it can then find support around that $60 area is going to be a significant question for investors. And natural gas prices were a little bit steadier in here today, but certainly not in a dynamic fashion. And what that suggests is that this break downwards has so far been sustained. So there is a lot going on in terms of what's, if we look around the world in terms of stock market action, that by and large the resources sector is picking up, that we are seeing Russia and Norway starting to find support, that in Latin America you have the Chilean and the Colombian market, as well as the Mexican market and the Brazilian market starting to firm. So what that is indicative of is continued demand dominance for the commodity sector. The precious metals are really quite oversold in the short term, so they are due some short covering. But what I find particularly interesting is the increasing signs of mania in the Bitcoin market. And I find it quite interesting that it has pretty much done nothing at all since futures were introduced. There was obviously a lot of people were buying it ahead of that event. And now the question is, who's left to buy it afterwards? And the rather tepid demand for those futures is an additional point that would suggest that a lot of the demand that was available has been expended on the run-up to this event. So it is a clear example of buy the rumor, sell the news, but we haven't seen any selling yet. So it is off its lows in here today. Upside follow-through would suggest that we're going to see an additional peak. But what we have plenty of evidence of is manic activity, that people are taking out second mortgages on their homes and to buy Bitcoin, that you have startups trying to harvest the heat from people's bodies to use in cryptocurrency mining, which is a leaf almost out of that movie almost 20 years ago, The Matrix. Then you have rather fanciful but almost realistic sounding prognostications that the price will be at $80,000 next year or over $100,000. And I have seen people predicting $1 million for Bitcoin, which is an example of people competing to be the biggest bull in a bull market. And again, that is also evidence of mania. Now, obviously, it is the acceleration is a trend ending. It's unsustainable beyond the short term. But the question is it going to go another leg higher? That's certainly a possibility. A massive reaction against the prevailing trend would cap the advance, potentially, almost certainly in the short term, and potentially for the medium term. And that is something that I think is really worth considering, that the risk of a substantial pullback is increasing, and not least because anyone who has held Bitcoin for more than 6 months has sat through some really crippling pullbacks, and that is also a testament to just how volatile it is. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.